from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley with you. Cody's back on Monday. He was texting us from the waiting room of the doctor's office, as a matter of fact, just a few minutes ago. So we'll find out on Monday how that's going. We have a pickleball game tonight that we're playing in. I don't know if you heard about this, Bink. We have a grudge match with our sister station and our friends Stain on Parks.
Yeah, I heard you guys discussing it this morning, going over the rules.
Just I have no idea what I'm doing. No clue what I'm doing.
Seems to be popular, though. Seems like every place has pickleball courts now. There's like three or four
chicken
bars
and pickle,
up north that have char
what is it,
bars
serve.
On them.
There's a bunch of specifically pickleball places that are out
54
there.
54 Street's got them up north.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. If you want to watch and stuff, we'll be out at Bartle Hall this evening, PickleCon. 7 o'clock, I think, is when the match actually gets underway.
I like pickles and Bloody Marys.
You can have some of those and just watch.
Yeah.
You could do that as well. How are you doing, by the way? I picked up something for you.
Yeah.
And I felt weird after I bought it, or why I was buying it.
Yeah.
You freaked out a little bit. You have to admit, you freaked out a little bit this morning.
Say, lost my phone. Something different.
You didn't have Chew.
Yeah.
Didn't have any Chew.
Alex went and got me some, meaning he ordered Chew for the very first time in his life. And I told him, this is like the modern day version of like when I grew up and you went and bought a Playboy. And you put like Field and Stream ahead of it or whatever. Then you went to the counter to buy that magazine. See, you had to feel weird. Go, yeah, give me some coke, man.
I definitely.
And he asked if you wanted more than one.
Yes, the person at the counter did. I'll be honest.
Full
it was.
Log.
I wasn't quite. It wasn't like awkward, but because I had never. I don't chew, obviously, but it was almost like when you're buying condoms for the first time. You know, that's what I felt like as I was
a little bit awkward. Should
you pick those up too?
When I was buying you Chew, because they're like, what do you want? I'm like, that because I've Copenhagen, yeah. The long cut, the wintergreen.
I think this is the right one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and they're like, you want multiple ones? I'm like, why would I need multiple ones?
We just got you going on buying Chew. Got Drew on right before the 4th of July shooting a firecracker off for the first time, slamming a Coors Light, which he's never done.
I feel like in some way
I'm having an effect, on you guys, and what you do. I like it. It's cool.
Oh, I needed to make sure you could get through the show
out
with me. You needed that to get through the show, and I'm glad we
Red
had
Bull,
that.
Too, because we don't have any in the company kitchens.
So. You can wait till one for a little beer. You'll be
yeah,
good.
Beer, yeah.
Do we have like 5 seconds for one thing real quick?
5 seconds? Of course.
Joel Embiid said next Olympics he might play with Cameroon.
No.
He said he might play with Cameroon in the next Olympics. You cannot country hop.
No, you can't do that. What the hell's he thinking?
Well, if he gets a gold, he was get a gold medal with multiple countries. He's not going to get one with Cameroon, but yeah.
He wanted a gold medal and then is going to go back. No,
it's just
way.
Embiid being Embiid. Don't worry about it. You're very worried about 2028. Drew's looking ahead. So much is going to happen in the next 4 years. Think about what the 4 years prior to this, what happened in the world. You're so focused and concerned about 2028. I don't know why.
C-Dot did come in and I was like, who's it going to be? He goes, Jason Tatum. I was like, no, it's
yes.
not. It is not going to be Jason Tatum.
We'll mark the tape here. August 9th, 2024.
Right, some of these Olympians, though, are going by their parents' heritage or whatever and skip it because it's easier to make the Olympic team. The guy who won the pole vault and set like the record for it grew up in Louisiana, went to LSU, and he was pole vaulting for Sweden. Because his mom's of Swedish descent and his dad's not. But he grew up in Louisiana, went to LSU, but he's playing for Sweden. It's like, what?
He would have made Team USA, though, because he's the world record holder.
I wish he would have. Yeah, he would have. But he's Sweden, and it's okay. He went to LSU, dude.
Someone on the text line is more pessimistic than I am. They said, Drew's worried about 28. We might not be alive. Well, settle down. I'm hoping to still be alive. I would think so.
It's in Los Angeles. You can go see it.
You could.
Get in your car and head out there.
Are we going to have any events here, or is it too far of a stretch?
Oklahoma City is going to have some events. I think softball, maybe. And other than that, that makes sense. Other than that, it'll all be out in L.A.
Is pickleball going to be an Olympic sport by then? Because I feel like if you're having pickleball,
I would say if breakdancing, which started the day in the Olympics, that will definitely be in. Pickleball will be in the Olympics.
Flag football is the big one in 2028.
Flag football will be exciting.
Plenty of time, Drew, to worry about how the flag football. Right. Maybe Caleb Williams will be participating because you were upset about 2028 already. Bink was upset about comments from a young quarterback in this league that hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet. Caleb Williams will make his NFL debut for the Chicago Bears. Tomorrow, we know the Chiefs got a preseason game. We'll get back into them during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But he was talking to Kay Adams.
Yeah.
She's been doing kind of a training camp tour. I don't know if she's come to Kansas City yet. I haven't seen her up there, so I don't know if that's going to happen. But I know she was in a few other markets in camps here recently. But she interviewed Kay Williams talking about, you know, just adjusting to the NFL, talking about quarterbacks he appreciates. And you played this cut for Drew and I multiple times this morning. Mm-hmm. You wanted us to be angry with you. I do.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's hear it in its entirety. And it starts off a little bit slow, and then it gets into the meat and the crux of what he was saying.
When he would play for Detroit, I enjoyed.
He's talking about Stafford.
But I wasn't so young, but I was younger, and I didn't really understand. And then I got older and older, and then I started to understand his game. He's unbelievable. Like there's a couple plays where he'll get a play action, and you know he has the backer. On a string, like he wants the backer to go here, he'll go there, and he'll throw it right behind his head, at the perfect touch, you know, perfect velocity, and so he's unbelievable. I don't know how. I think it was 46, right, on the top 100, 56.
I don't even
top
know. 100. I didn't look.
It was something unbelievable that he shouldn't have been. I was not happy about.
Where would
he
you
was,
put
he was in the right
Matthew
spot.
Stafford is probably. I don't think I can name two quarterbacks. Three quarterbacks that play the position better than Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
Not obviously playing right now. I'm not saying
42. He was 42 on the list.
I don't know how he's 42.
You're telling me he's better than Josh Allen. He's better than like that. That's
Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford. Aaron Rodgers right now in the game is my number one QB.
Yes.
Obviously last year he got hurt and things like that. So that's, you know, it kind of varies for the top 100, but.
You don't play Aaron. You play Matthew, though. You know.
Yeah, Matthew's top two in the league.
You're playing in week 4.
Is he winning money?
No, he's top two in the league. I give him respect. I watch his game. I try and mimic things and get after.
Yeah. Does he win money?
He likes Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers.
Evidently.
What's the problem? What's the problem with what he said?
Maybe out in L.A. when he was with USC, they had a connection. I don't know what's going on. She didn't bring up Mahomes there, but he put Stafford ahead of even like Josh Allen. Come on, man. And that means that he's better than Mahomes because Caleb Williams says Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford are his top two quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
It's his opinion.
Now it's a wrong opinion. Now I can see how the NFL.
It's a wrong opinion. Matt Stafford is not 30. Okay, if you had 32 general managers and you had Mahomes or Stafford and Josh Allen, Stafford ain't getting any of those votes. He's not getting any of those votes.
So now we know why the list that we no longer are allowed to bring up on the show. I know y'all all allow it because you're filling in, Bank, but we've come to agreement on this show that we no longer will discuss the NFL top 100 list, whether Mahomes is number one or not. We're done with it because it's irrelevant. And this is another example.
And the voting's done Thanksgiving to years. You talk about that?
Yeah. And you wonder how that happens, where Mahomes ends up four. Well, you have Caleb Williams, who hasn't had a chance to vote yet because he's a rookie, but this is this you have players for whatever reason. It's a player they grew up watching or whatever, and they just Matthew Stafford is underrated. When he's healthy, I think he is a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's obviously not the best quarterback in the league. But why are you getting us so angry?
It's
a rookie quarterback that in the NFC that
Chicago,
hasn't done anything yet in the league.
I would worry about this guy in the way he views football. And number one overall pick, I would be concerned with that. That Matt Stafford is not the guy you want to emulate. You know, he's been compared to Mahomes his whole way coming up through, but and then Josh Allen's there too. I'm telling you, you have 32 general managers in the draft. You're taking Stafford, Josh Allen. He thinks he's better than Joe Burrow too, so put Joe Burrow in there and Mahomes. He's getting no votes. Stafford's getting no votes with that crew. None.
So you're saying that
I worry about
31
Caleb Williams.
Other cities should be offended by the
Yes,
what?
They absolutely should. There's Caleb Williams talking the stupid stuff. I mean, he always just thought he's can do whatever Mahomes can do his whole way coming up. But for Caleb Williams to say that Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL right now is blatantly wrong. And if I'm Chicago, I'm worried about my number one all pick not being, you know, thinking of the game of football and how you actually win games. Emulate Matt Stafford. I know Matt Stafford won a title, but you know what? Aaron Donald and the defense had a big part of doing that.
Yeah, so look, I disagree. Right. I definitely disagree. I think he is incorrect that Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback in the league. That is
so
more
we can
than
agree
fair.
He's wrong.
Yes, but okay. Also to Drew's point,
Drew does not have a point.
The quarterback for the Chicago Bears, his part of his job is not to have correct takes on the entire NFL. Because again, the NFL top 100 has shown us that players, for whatever reason,
for the boys.
Don't should take his Heisman back.
Okay. Is this the whole Gen Z thing?
He didn't make the college football playoffs. He lost to Utah twice last year. And now this guy's going to put Stafford as their more quarterback? Hey, beat Utah, Caleb.
Is this the whole Gen Z thing with Caleb Williams that you and a lot of people don't like anyway? Like that, there's a lot of people. Let's be honest. People can tell on themselves a little bit, but like that, some people they haven't seen him play a snap yet. And
I like the way he plays football.
And he is getting hyped up. But some of the other stuff you reference, like some of it, I think people like. There was a video from Hard Knocks this week that came out, and he was sitting down in his coach's office or GM office. I don't remember. And he picks up what is a bag. And people were saying he picked up a purse.
Yeah, I don't think
and people
fair.
Were
as long as that
people
he
were attacking like the whole masculinity thing or whatever. And it's just this is the Gen Z thing. And so there's a lot of people that are just want him to fail because of that. Like they just don't get it. There's a big disconnect. He's the first Gen Z quarterback in the NFL, and so it's different. The same thing we went through. I'm a millennial. That people are like, oh, these millennials are idiots. Now people are like, oh, the Gen Zs are idiots. So, like this is what we do in
is
history.
Drew more
like
the Tide Pod Eater generation.
What's that?
Is Drew more the Tide Pod Eater generation?
Yeah, that was specifically Drew, actually.
I am a millennial. Let's not get it twisted.
But I do think some of it, like the text, I'm not going to read the text that you sent in, sir, or
y'all
whoever.
Y'all don't like Caleb
But
Williams.
Some of it is that. Some of it, like that exact text we just got.
Haters, man.
He's a straight blink. That's what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with football. There's people that don't like because he's not chewing dip and having, you know, and he's not having a Bud Light on the side. You know, like, well, I guess Bud Light wouldn't work for some people either, but you get my point.
Well, I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about those comments he just made right there.
Yeah.
That's the crux of it. I don't care what bags he carries or anything. The whole fact that this guy is obviously oblivious. Oblivious to reality if you think, Matt, because I'm telling you.
I think it doesn't matter.
Drew, answer this honestly. 32 GMs, Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Matt Stafford. And you could take either one of them. How many votes is Matt Stafford getting out of 32? I'm going to tell you right now, zero.
And that's fine.
But like, he's not a GM, though. I guess that's the thing. Caleb Williams making you get you too upset here.
Caleb Williams saying that Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers are the best players probably.
Is he only money?
It's because he likes them. Like he likes the game. Like he talked about Stafford plays. Like it's not a hey right now he's number one in the league. Like he referenced Stafford's ability in Detroit to throw the foot. Like he thinks that,
but he says
he's
right
one of his
now
favorite players.
He
this
said,
has
right
zero
now
bearing on what Caleb Williams either could suck this year or be the rookie of the year. And this take these comments have no bearing on that. That's all, none whatsoever.
I'm just saying, I Caleb Williams, he's pretty arrogant.
If they go to the Super Bowl, like
yeah,
Nick
all,
Wright says, are you going to be respectful?
What quarterback isn't slightly arrogant and confident? I mean, come on now. We see this all the time. You're telling me that.
And a lot of times that doesn't work, but it's the guys that are humble. That
some
are,
of the names you just mentioned are very.
The best in the business, one of the most humble dudes you'll ever meet.
Yeah, but he's still...
Josh Allen's extremely humble. Joe Burrow's humble.
He's actually better than everybody, so that's why it's okay. But if Mahomes was the fifth best quarterback, I bet you he would still think he's better than everybody.
The only thing Matt Stafford does extremely well is chug beer. Because whenever he did those videos and he was like slamming 32 ounces, I'd give him credit for that.
That's just disrespectful to Matt Stafford, Bink.
Matt Stafford's fine, but he's not one of the top two quarterbacks in the NFL. That is just
to
heinous.
Caleb Williams, though, he might be.
Well, what world is he living in?
That's all.
His own world. It doesn't matter.
Planet Caleb?
In his head. It doesn't matter.
That is exactly what it is. Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. Thinking of young quarterbacks, last night we saw one of them. I thought we were going to get Drake May versus Bryce Young. That did not happen. There was preseason football. Bryce Young didn't even play, which I know that's the thing teams are doing, not having quarterbacks play. But Bryce Young was terrible last year because the team around him also stunk. I can't believe with a brand new offensive-minded head coach, they didn't have Bryce Young playing yesterday. To me, that was a mistake by Carolina. I think that's a misstep. Drake May played, really didn't do anything, barely played. Wasn't much to see there. My takeaway from the game was two things. This is now up to a three-game sample size. Not one like last Thursday, three, so still small. The new kickoff rule is still a waste of time.
Couldn't agree
the
more.
The goal of the kickoff, some would say, well, the NFL just wants returns. And they'll say, goal, but there's more returns. True. But if every return is going to the 25 or 26 yard line, we're still wasting our time. Just give the ball at the 25 every time and be done with it. We know they're not going back to the old kickoffs from 2012 or whatever.
They might, though, because it's a one-year deal.
That's what... Well, no, from the rules that were prior to this change...
Oh, that changed. But this new kickoff rules for 1 year.
Correct. For one rule.
There's going to be a lot of criticism, I think.
If this doesn't work, I think they would likely get rid of him. This is, to me, the last chance for us to keep kickoffs. But if this is what it's going to look like in the regular season, this is not lasting more than a year. I understand they didn't like that the Super Bowl did not have a single kickoff return. It was touchback after touchback. But if the returns go to the 25 every time, which is the average right now,
which is what Devin Hester was saying, one of the best ever.
We're wasting our time.
Yep. We are. And remember the whole thought originally was going to be Justin Reed can kick off, right? Because he's a safety. Because they went back and looked at XFL film and everything that people do in this kickoff. And the kicker's involved in 20-25% more tackles. It's not that way. I think they're going to find out it does take that pinpoint accuracy to be in the quote landing zone. Because if you hit it there, you have to return it. Like, they have to return it. The whole stop and start thing, not a fan of this rule at all. I don't like the onside kick rule being only in the fourth quarter when you're down and you have to announce it. I always enjoy that. I know onside kicks aren't, foolproof and they're, not a high success rate of them. But there's nothing better than coming out in the second half, you see something on film and you drop that onside kick out there. So onside kicks typically don't work at the end of the game when teams know exactly what you're doing. But they have a success rate if teams don't know what you're doing.
Like Sean Payton or whatever in the Super Bowl against the Colts.
Yeah, they have a success rate if you don't know what you're doing. On film, you see these, the defenders are all going backwards and say, hey, we can do this onside kick. It takes that strategy out of the game. That's a big problem. I just hate this new kickoff. If it's not broke, don't fix it. The NFL can't get any more popular than it is right now. Just keep it.
I think you guys are being too harsh, all right? And I'm going to take this stance. You're being rude to the game of football for trying to add an extra ounce of strategy in there, ability. We're paying kickers all this amount of money. They need to do more.
Not for kickoffs. We're not paying it. Harrison Butker's new deal is not because of kickoffs. His new deal is because that dude can make a 58-yarder in the most pressure situation possible.
The guy's money, and that's why he got his money.
If the Chiefs need him to pooch a ball up and have it dot right on the 20 or like the 10-yard line and have it sit there, then he should be able to do it.
I think Butker's going to be a real weapon with this. I think he will be.
Again, he might not even be the one kicking, though.
It sounds like Tobe wants to go that direction now. It's going to be Butker.
But I think you guys are, it's an extra inkling of strategy. I like it.
So I like the idea of it. And I get it. It's still a small sample size. Let's see what happens in the first few weeks of the NFL season. But so far, and all I can go off of, Drew, is the current evidence, which is three games. But that's what I have after this weekend.
It does
and
not
tomorrow,
look good, does it?
I'll have another 10 games to look at. So far, I think people should admit, though, that it hasn't done anything.
Right.
Like, yes, some would argue and say, well, the NFL just wants returns. Whatever they look, they just want them. Okay, you're right. We have not had touchbacks in the preseason because of this. That's true. If that's all we wanted, then fine. But if the average return is still the 25-yard line, it's a waste of time. And I'm not saying I thought that suddenly we're going to have two kickoff returns a game. I don't want that either. That'd be ridiculous, too. But there hasn't been more excitement. Stop with it. That it's not exciting seeing me have a kickoff under the new rule where they grab the ball at the 5 and then they're tackled at the 25. That's not exciting. It's really, it's just a waste of time is all it is so
far. It's not exciting with everybody going to their cell phones looking up new kickoff rules when they see it happening and trying to explain
what the kickoff rule is. But there's the one chance that Xavier Worthy gets the return and takes it to the house. You eliminate that opportunity.
You know, he still had great kickoff returns anyway. Even Devin Hester, the best that's ever done, just went into the Hall of Fame, even commented on it. He says, we're not seeing the big returns like you expected. This guy knows it because he did it. He's in the Hall of Fame for being a kicker. I just like the way it was, man. Just keep it that way.
But they're not going back to the way it was because they changed it due to safety, and that's what led to teams just doing the touchback. Yeah, they were fine.
And the onside was changed because you only have three. Yeah. You had to have three guys at least on one side of the ball.
We'll see. I mean, I the national show that I do on Saturdays on BetQL and Infinity Sports Network, our sister station or our network with our company, totally disagreed with me and just said that basically, as long as people are returning kicks, then it's a win. And I just completely disagree. So we'll see how it plays out.
Call it a win, but I mean, it's what I think it's more of what they want because I think safety is the main reason. But I do think the fact that there is action. Somebody texted in, guys, kickoff is a bathroom break or fresh beer break. Nothing changed. Look, if you miss a kickoff return for a touchdown in a big game, then that's on you because that's possible.
Yeah, I hope on Monday.
You're not eliminating that possibility.
I think some teams are just going to rely on their defense, just kick it to the end zone and put it at 35.
Well, not there's no reason to do that right now. So far,
the worst average in the NFL was 16 yards of return.
But there's no need to. Nobody's going to want to kick it in the end zone if these are going to be the actual results. If teams are not able to get it past the 26 yard line, let's see how the rest of the weekend goes, and let's see the first 2 weeks of the regular season. When if you believe in, hey, teams are holding everything back, and like just magically suddenly they're going to do everything different on the kickoffs. That I can wait for. But right now it hasn't been great. All right, Drew.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Russia for this one. So there's a scandal with a chess player. This is not the same scandal from a couple years ago where there's a chess player doing some nasty things to cheat. You can Google that one if you want. This one has to do with a Russian player being accused of poisoning their rival during a tournament bank. A scandal has erupted in the chess world as a Russian grandmaster is accused of attempting to poison a rival. The incident has led to the player suspension, raising questions about the extreme length to which competitors might go in the high-stakes world of chess. The case has captured widespread attention. So it is alleged that this individual was playing chess, has a rival. During a tournament, there's camera footage of one of the contestants smearing what is believed to be mercury on the chessboard of their rival and the pieces, causing that rival to experience severe dizziness and nausea.
They must not be a grandmaster then. I mean, are they really a grandmaster if they're out here poisoning opponents?
I mean, we did see cheating in the hot dog contest, so cheating in chess would only be the next logical step.
The video shows that what appears to be a thermometer being poured, a substance directly from the thermometer, right, the mercury, onto the chessboard in pieces. And then she quickly leaves the room unaware that her actions were being recorded, so that she got caught. And they were detained by local authorities and now facing criminal charges, including a lifetime ban for the sport and possible jail time.
Yeah, way to just
cheating
ruin
in chess
you.
With mercury.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think everything now is on the board for cheating. I think what's chess and there's cheating. I think that, like I said, the hot dog contest, she had cheating.
I mean, Russia's not even in the Olympics because they cheat. They're not in the Olympics right now.
Mercury. Oof.
I mean, it's not only cheating, it's like an attempted murder.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got legal ramifications there.
Someone says that's just 4D chess, baby. Yeah.
You good at chess?
No, terrible. I played like twice in my life.
Really?
I watched the what was it on Netflix? The Queen's Gambit. Mm-hmm. I feel like I learned a few things there. That's about it. You know, Drew, do you ever see the Queen's Gambit?
I have not, but
I have not
seen Queen's Gambit.
I've played chess maybe once or twice, the same as you, Gold.
I play chess all the time. I love it.
Why don't you play?
It's better checkers. Well, who am I going to play with? Well, I've played online a lot.
Play wherever.
Checkers is for the idiots like Gold and I who just like to play to have fun.
Correct.
That's Connect Four.
That's what we Connect Four.
Checkers, at least, you know. Yeah, checkers I played in elementary school or whatever, you know.
It's quick. The game doesn't take forever. There's some strategy, but not too much where it's overcomplicated.
Chess, there's all these different moves and openings and things like that, and I have no idea what any of them are.
Yeah.
No idea what any of them are.
Am I red or am I black? That's all I need to know.
I like when they play the full-size people in chess and they just move them, you know, the full-size people on the chessboard. And the old saying, you know, they're playing chess. The others are playing checkers.
No, the Chiefs are playing chess.
The others are playing checkers.
That's right. That's the trash of the day, Bink.
I'll stick to playing checkers.
Seems like a good idea for all of us. It's kind of how I feel about pickleball tonight. Like, I just, I feel like I'm walking in blind. It's like me playing chess. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing tonight at this PickleCon thing.
I think it is... You've played ping pong, obviously. It's more like
I'm terrible at it.
More like tennis than it is ping pong.
And I've never really played tennis.
Ping pong is, yeah, it's more like tennis. It's not. I think you'll get the hang of it more. Not to say that I guess you'll be great at it, but you'll get the hang of it. I think pretty quickly. I would say it's more fun than
tennis? Like,
people love it. People love a little pickleball.
I think racquetball is a better sport than that, but. Whatever.
I'll say this. Not that I was anti-pickleball or it being a sport, but I will say having played pickleball, I do actually enjoy playing pickleball.
Well, we'll have some fun tonight out at Pickleball.
You're a ringer.
Bartle Hall, yeah, Drew's summoned in for me after the first serve. One serve, ping how it goes, I'm out.
Fine by me.
I'm out. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get back into the crazy rumors around Dallas and the Chiefs with a wide receiver, plus what one publication says about some division winners in the NFL. We'll do that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Next on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And a reminder, starting next Thursday at 6 a.m., 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, your home for Chiefs football, so you'll be hearing Mitch Holtis throughout the football season, including in preseason game number 2 next week. You'll be hearing Mitch, Danen, Kling, Dan Israel, all on 96.5 The Fan as we all move over there. Really excited about that. Bink, you were rocking the hat a little bit earlier. If you guys weren't listening to the show yesterday, or frankly, if you weren't paying attention to the news because it was on TV stations and stuff, yesterday they were talking about it. Next Thursday, 6 a.m., beginning with Fesco and Dusty, we switched to 96.5 The Fan, man.
Nothing changes. I had a lot of those questions last night as far as the app stays the same. It'll probably change to 96.5, but is what it'll say, but it stays the same. You don't need to change anything in your phone. Twitter, all that. Corporate's going to probably change that over to 96.5. 6:10 will still be here. It'll be the fan, 6:10 a.m., so it gives us flexibility to have things on stations. But, yes, the Chiefs, because that comes in a lot too. Yes, the Chiefs will be on 96.5 this year. You don't have to go anywhere. It stays right there. Royals, everything, crystal clear FM. It's a great move. Not actually moving. We're not moving studios.
No, same studio, same company, text lines. Everything.
People worried about the text line. It's staying the same. Text line, phone line, everything's same.
Next Thursday, 6 a.m., 96.5.
Club 6:10 may have to change.
Someone says, will block texters be unblocked? Well, I see your text. So no. You are not blocked. If you think you're blocked, I did see your text.
That came in last night, too. They be unblocked. No, it's the same text line, so everything stays the same.
Yeah,
You're blocked.
Yeah, I don't know all the finer details on some of that. So as far as I know, it's staying the same bank, but I have no idea. Let's talk some Chiefs football. And one move that I just don't think is realistic yet. Social media was talking about it a little bit, and there's a mess down in Dallas where you have Micah Parsons, CD Lamb, Dak Prescott, all three of the better players at their position in the league, all wanting new deals. All do. It was a failure by Jerry Jones and that organization not to get one or two of these deals done earlier or whatever. So you're not in this position where you're competing with yourself to reset the market or be the highest paid. And the reason why this relates to the Chiefs a little bit is yesterday, Jerry Jones commented about CD Lamb in particular, their star wide receiver, and says he's not concerned about getting it done quickly. He has no urgency. He said, you can take any reason you want. He basically doesn't know why he hasn't got it. He said, you can pick any reason why you want, why we haven't got a deal done with him. CD Lamb responded, LOL, on Twitter. He also removed the phrase America's team from his Twitter bio. And so anytime there's a Twitter change, people start to dive deeper into former teammates, for example.
Just got real.
You know, you got Hollywood Brown, who's in Kansas City, played with him at Oklahoma, changed his cover photo. Right, him and CD Lamb have the cover photo where they're both in their Oklahoma days.
Yeah,
and
Hollywood
that was
Brown
where
already have his up. I think CD changed his, but
one
I think,
of
Hollywood,
them changed,
I think
yeah.
Hollywood still had that up.
And so that's why people have made the link or whatever. There's just no reason why I would think if you're the Chiefs at this point, you would entertain a serious trade. I don't think one Jerry Jones is trading him, but FanDuel put up a trade scenario. Reminder, this is just from FanDuel. This is not someone reporting that this is being discussed. It said, would the Chiefs make this move? Who says no? Chiefs get C.D. Lamb, one of the top five receivers in football. The Chiefs give up Rashee Rice, a 2025 first-round pick and a 2026 first-round pick. Honestly, no. Who says no? Me? The Chiefs? I think everybody says no in this scenario. C.D. Lamb would require $30 million a year. He would. Plus multiple,
to start with.
To start. Plus to get multiple first-round picks the other way, and I would trade away Rashee Rice, who has multiple years of control. I understand that he might be suspended at some point, and you're paying him nothing. No, absolutely not. This team values draft picks far too much. I always struggle. At some point in time, they'll do it, but they just 3 years ago would not pay Tyreek Hill $28 million. Why do we think they're going to go trade for a guy after winning multiple rings without him and pay him $30 million, him being C.D. Lamb, and give up multiple first-round picks? It makes no sense to me. I also just don't think C.D. Lamb's getting traded, maybe in the offseason if they tag and trade him.
And Dallas really hasn't done a lot with the Chiefs since that Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward deal. They wouldn't do business with the Chiefs in the draft that was here in Kansas City when Kansas City possibly wanted to move down there. Dallas wasn't interested in that. I think Belichick will end up being that coach next year. The Chiefs, hey, this is how they do their work. They have the best front office in the NFL right now. They're the best at talent evaluation. You know, even going into last year, they had 21 of the last 22 draft picks that even goes through COVID that are still on this roster. And that is amazing because that's the only NFL team that can say this. 2 years ago, they drafted for necessity because you have those five rookie defensive backs that played against Philadelphia. Your leading rusher makes on average $937,000 a year. And Isaiah Pacheco is considered a top five back in the NFL. They get him in the seventh round. They do. Mike Dana, fifth-round pick, didn't even go to the combine. Trey Smith, starter, sixth-round pick. Again, Patrick Mahomes is the only first-round pick on offense last year for a Super Bowl champion team. That includes the offensive line, anything. Patrick Mahomes was. Now they got two because Hollywood Brown is a former number one pick and, of course, worthy out there as well. But they won a Super Bowl with only one first-round pick, meaning they do their damage in the draft. And that 4 years of control, or having the 5 years. That's why I was shocked at Buffalo with Keon Coleman because now you get 4 years of control with him instead of five. You know, when Buffalo decided to trade with the Chiefs, they gave up that fifth year of being able to hold on to a team. But yeah, the Chiefs have the advantage, and they're still, as we said right now, the only team in the NFL that's paid their quarterback and then won. We see all these, you know, outrageous right. quarterback contracts from what Josh Allen got, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence now, soon to be Dak Prescott. We see all these guys getting paid, but there's no rings. And the Chiefs have found a way to pay Mahomes, and they found a way to win at the same time, meaning their front office is just better than anybody else's. So they're not going to give away picks because they do damage with those picks and make this team younger and younger. It's what they've done. They flipped this roster, basically.
Like I've seen this thought a lot. This is the second text. So that's why I'll bring it up. 913-586-7610. Someone says, hey, the only way they could do this would they, you know, hey, you're going for a three-peat. Go all in, mortgage the future. Here's my pushback on that, because that was a conversation back in February when we discussed, hey, they now they got to go all, Cody and I were going back and forth on this in February. You know, now they have to go all in. And my response to it then and instilled to this text now is what they've been doing and how they've approached the draft and free agency and building the roster has led to them going back to back. Why would you, while you're going for a three-peat, suddenly change the way you've operated? They've operated by making smart decisions. And I would also just argue they did upgrade the wide receiver room. They went out and signed, for the money, the best available free agent wide receiver in Hollywood Brown.
Because on a proven deal.
Mike Evans was not available. Michael Pittman Jr. was not available. Calvin Ridley was out there, but look at the contract he signed. So, and then they spent another high draft pick, a first-round pick on Xavier Worthy. So they went, if you want to, all in on wide receiver, in my opinion, this offseason. Of course, C.D. Lamb's incredible, but it's just not a realistic scenario in my mind. And I also don't believe this idea of going all in. They've been all in for 3 or 4 years. This is what all in looks like, what they've been doing. They've won back-to-back championships. You don't think they were all in the last 2 years?
It's just like Brett Veach holding up the trophy at the Super Bowl parade after the Eagles game. Says this is what a rebuild looks like. He holds up the Lombardi. That always sticks with me, that quote that he said there. And the one thing is, they do damage. And going back into what they do in the draft and how much they covet those draft picks and going forward, think about this. Rashee Rice was a second-round receiver. But guess what? He was number two in the NFL in catches and yards for rookie wide receivers. Only Puka was ahead of him. And that was kind of an asterisk because that was the third, fifth-round pick of the Rams that year. So he was the third-best pass catcher because Laporta, the tight end, had more than Rice. But still, out of all those receivers that went in the first round and all this, second round, Rice was the best one. There was that notion, well, what's Brett Veach going to do when he has to draft a skill guy? And it's like, well, he just drafted the second leading receiver in yards and receptions. Out of all the rookies that he could have taken last year when he needed to, he's going to be fine. So when they concentrate on that, it's different. The picks are a premium for this team.
You said something earlier, though, that you thought Belichick is coming back.
I do.
I think now he's making money broadcasting. He's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. I don't think he's coaching again.
Yeah, I think he still will, and he's going to do this show. It's a fantasy underdog fantasy, where he's going to be breaking down film. That's going to be epic, to be honest. So it's going to be really, really good when he gets it. But you know what's in their plans? I know the Cowboys are not a tanking team. They're not going to, not with Jerry Jones. That's just not what he does. It's not how. That window of opportunity is starting to shrink with that football team, and Jerry knows it.
Well,
he sees the popularity going on in Kansas City right now.
Well, I think if they want to get rid of Dak and get a top pick, they have to keep CeeDee Lamb because they're going to need to get rid of him in order to get that high of a pick in the first place. I think somebody brings up a good point from the 913. I'd rather have 2 to 3 Super Bowls over time than one more and then close the window of future odds to win a Super Bowl. I think in Golden, we were talking about this like in February and in March. I think one of the questions I asked, would you rather three-peat and only have 4 Super Bowls with Mahomes, or would you rather him win 6? And I mean, it's because he's the only guy to three-peat, but you only win 4. Like, he don't win another one. Or you win 6 over time and he doesn't quite reach Brady, but he gets there to, he's in that conversation where you can get into the GOAT conversation in your mind.
Yeah, so for me, it's an easy answer unless you adjust the number. Because if you said three-peat and you only win 3, or you win four, but it's only five, then I would go with the three. You know what I mean? Like,
you'd rather three-peat and only be stuck with four.
Yeah, but you giving me the option to select six means you have to take the six, because then you're only one shy of Brady. Like, six is too big of a number for me.
But
like,
you don't three-peat.
I understand, but if you're getting to six. Now, if you said I only get four or five versus three-peating, I'll take the three-peat. But six, to me, you have to take the six in that scenario, because you're at that point, you're only one down. It's the three-peat is powerful, no question. Brady didn't do it. That'll help the long legacy conversation 15 years from now or whatever, if you're just one short. But if Mahomes three-peats and he still is three or four rings short of Brady, then I know in Kansas City people don't want to hear it, because we know talent-wise, athletically, Mahomes is already the best quarterback of all time. But the legacy conversation for the masses, for the national media, for sports fan across the globe, if Mahomes has four rings and three peats and Brady has seven and Mahomes lost head-to-head in the AFC title game and a Super Bowl, that's going to be a hard argument to overcome for a lot of people outside of Kansas City.
No, I agree with you. 100% agree with you. Texan also says, I don't believe they believe CeeDee Lamb can be is as good as a more experienced Rasheed Rice.
CeeDee Lamb's a top three receiver.
The only commonality they have is they both ran a 4.5 140. Both of them ran a 4.5 140.
They both like Dallas a lot.
But 135 catches for CeeDee Lamb, that is tough. I don't see Rice hitting that.
There's one whose peak is like 1,500 or 1,600 yards. The other one is maybe like 1,200.
Yeah. So I don't see that happening.
You mentioned the Cowboys just in how you view them this year. So CBS Sports is going through and, you know, they were talking about the divisions, but also kind of the teams that are a class of their own. And the Chiefs, we know, are in their own class if we were to discuss tiers. And they represented the Chiefs in that way. They said, hey, tier one, in a league of their own, there's only one team. It's the Chiefs. They're going for a three-peat. No issue there. We all agree. And then they list what they call real deal contenders, the Ravens and Buffalo and Houston. I think it's interesting that already we're putting the Texans in that category with Baltimore and Buffalo. Nope, Cincinnati, by the way, listed in that tier. Tier three.
Too disrespectful.
They go to fringe contenders. Bengals, Jets, Dolphins. Cincinnati, if you can ensure that Joe Burrow's healthy, they're not a fringe contender. They are a contender. It's whether or not they have a healthy quarterback. Because I like the Jets and Dolphins are, of course, fringe contenders. That's more than fair.
I think the Texans have passed the Bills, to be honest with you. I think it's Kansas City and Baltimore. I put Houston. Listen, I know that you always worry about the one-year wonders in the NFL. We've seen it twice with the Jags whenever they went to the Blake Bortles to the title
Lions
game.
Last year in a way.
We've seen these teams just fall off, but I don't see it with the Texans. I like the moves they made. DeMeco Ryans seems to know what he's doing. He kicked the hell out of the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. I think San Francisco's defense struggled since DeMeco Ryans left there and went to Houston. But I think the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud, I'm buying into that team. I know you want to see them do it twice. You want to see them back it up, because that's been the big problem in the NFL.
It's got real pressure now.
It's what makes the Chiefs so impressive. You know, six straight AFC title games. It's so hard to get back and do that, not fall off, and they've been able to do it. Buffalo, I'm going to wait and see. I don't like that wide receiver room they have there. MVS might not even make that team. At that point, that just shows you the kind of the situation that they're in. But Baltimore, I think, is tier one.
Well, isn't that actually a good thing? If MVS doesn't make the team, couldn't you argue that's a good thing for Buffalo?
No, because it means, well, all the receivers are bad. I'm just saying that he's not even good enough to make that team, and that means it shows you their quality of receivers that they do have, which is even worse than that.
There is a case, I think, that you could
he
say
just
that
drops everything.
There's a case, I guess, that you could say the Bengals are fringe contenders because of the question about Joe Burrow's health.
The schedule,
I think that might lead you to make them fringe contenders, but I would say, I mean, if we know, again, this is like the Jalen Daniels thing. We know if everybody's healthy, every single quarterback is healthy, I think the Bills are maybe more fringe contenders than the Bengals are because of what you said, Bink, the stuff that they've had with the wide receiver room and the depletion there, Josh Allen having to do everything, still Sean McDermott being the head coach and not being able to get it done. There's more, I think, that leads you to believe the Bills would be fringe contenders more than the Bengals would be if everybody's healthy.
And the big concern with the Bengals is the offensive line. That offensive line seems to be better for him. Marius Mims, I think it's going to be better than I thought. Marius Mims is getting some rave reviews.
The challenge,
from what I've seen. You've seen that? I've seen that Marius Mims gets – and the schedule's weak. They're again, their 17th game. When you look, they play the Panthers because they were last place team.
Yeah.
Bengals will not be last place this year. Buffalo, I'm not buying yet, man. Because if they had the defense where they were number one defense, when that 13-second game, that was a number one defense in the NFL. Last year, they were sixth in scoring defense. I think they take a step back. If Buffalo has been better than what they are this year, and to expect them to be a good contender when that roster was better on the Buffalo Bills the last couple of years than this year, not buying it.
Don't we have to say, though, if we're going to say, you know, a real contender, start with what's the chance of you winning your division? And so let's go through the teams that we're talking about. Obviously, Kansas City is going to win the AFC West. Massive favorites, they're going to. Baltimore, not so sure, but is that the one division where you could not win your division and still say you're a true contender? I think the answer is yes. That's the one division you could finish in second, and I would still say you're a contender.
Because if IU gets up in Pittsburgh, I mean, that's going to change. So, I don't think Cleveland's going to be that great.
So you could lose the division crown and still come out of that division as a contender. Yeah. I think that's true. Can you say the same thing? The AFC East, like Buffalo's the favorite on paper. The odds markets at FanDuel and everything say that.
New England sucks.
New England is going to be terrible. The Jets, I think they got a great roster. Questions about
huge
the coach.
Question mark.
And Rodgers, once again, is a major storyline. What's he going to be? And then Tua in Miami, they still have all the speed.
That's a team I have taken a step back as the Dolphins.
So that's where I get when we're having the conversation about who's a contender. I think Buffalo is absolutely still a contender because in that division, like the path to get, they have a more likely chance to win their division than Cincinnati has to win the AFC North, right? They have a better chance of doing
that.
But
here's the deal though, Alex. They were a better team, the better roster last year. They were. They're top six scoring offense, top six scoring defense. Keep this in mind.
Right.
It took them the last game of the year beating Miami to get into the playoffs. Yes, they were the number two seed. They were, could even be the number two seed or not even the playoffs. That is how close. And to be honest with you, if Kadarius Toney's on sides and not offsides, Buffalo's out of the playoffs.
Right, I
know, Buffalo didn't even make the playoffs.
There's a lot of games.
Doesn't that go to show you how good the AFC East was? I think it, last year, you could like if Miami would have won, and they'd have been the two seed, and Buffalo were say they were the seven. You could make a case that Buffalo would still be contenders. To your point, Gold, I think that there's even the AFC's last year was that way. I don't know if it's, I guess it's that way this year because things are a little bit different now. But yeah, I would say the AFC North is the one division.
91 from text line 913-586-7610. This from the 816. Can Josh Allen elevate a group of misfit wide receivers like Mahomes did? Is the question. It's a very fair question, yes, and that is why I actually like, not to get too much down the road of MVP conversation, we'll have time to do that closer to the season, it's why I actually really do like Josh Allen's chances to win MVP this year, and it's why he will be someone I have a preseason bet on to win MVP, and it's not that much of a long shot, he's still got some of the best odds, but he has the narrative, I think, on his side, Bink. All the question marks that you just listed are fair, but that's also why I like his case when it comes down to it. If Josh Allen wins the AFC East, has a really good year with everybody saying your wide receivers suck. The same thing we said 2 years ago when Mahomes won it. Yep. That, remember, it's not a postseason award, so I'm not telling you the Bills are going to the Super Bowl. But if Josh Allen wins the AFC East with what is supposed to be a bad wide receiver room or inexperienced, unproven, that's the narrative, right? And he goes out and has a really good statistical season, I like the narrative on his side over a Patrick Mahomes narrative where people are going to say, oh, Mahomes is going for a three-peat. He's got Hollywood Brown now. He's got Rice. He's got it's going to be very hard for Mahomes to win an MVP this year.
The biggest difference between Mahomes and Allen is Allen's always had that great defense. He has always played with that great defense behind him. Even last year, they were fourth in the NFL in scoring defense. Chiefs were number two. The Bills were number four. That defense isn't going to be that good this year with what they've lost. But Josh Allen has had that opportunity with a great defense. Even last year, he had it at home to play the Chiefs and didn't get the job done. That's why I question. To be honest with you, I would have moved on from McDermott. There's several coaches I would have moved on from. Sirianni's one, McDermott's the other one, and McCarthy in Dallas. Those are the three that I would have moved on from. But because I've kind of seen what they can do with the ceiling. I mean, a home playoff game, you're the number two seed and you can't get the job done. Man, it's going to take a lot for me to buy back into that team.
I think scoring defense can be a little bit overrated.
Actually, I think that's the best stat in defense.
Yeah, but if you're... So, I don't think people were looking at the Bills last year. Like, we wouldn't have guessed that the Bills would have had a top four defense based on how they played last year. Where were they at in turnovers? Because the Chiefs didn't create many turnovers. They were still one... Like, that... For you to say that you're an elite defense... Nobody's saying the Bills were an elite defense last year, I don't think. And I don't know if... While they gave up less points, is because they were generating turnovers. The Chiefs gave up less points, and they generated few turnovers. So that defense, you just knew that how great the Chiefs' defense was because of them still giving up the lack of points that they did while not generating as many turnovers.
Plus two on turnovers. They were a top 10 defense overall, and they were number four in scoring. I mean, the defense was serviceable for them. It was good. It's not as good as what Josh Allen's had.
Right.
Clearly, he's had better defenses when he's done there, and he hadn't done anything with it. But, yeah, I mean, And as far as getting to the quarterback, we know Von Miller couldn't get to the quarterback. He's not even listed as their starter on their team.
He took a massive pay cut
on their team right now. But as far as sacks, Chiefs were number two in the NFL, and so was Buffalo. Buffalo was fourth in sacks. So they did, for all the talk about them not being able to quarterback, they got there 54 times. Chiefs got there 57 times. So the Bills were fourth in the NFL in sacks. Again, Josh Allen's had these great, you know, number one and number two defenses and hadn't got the job done.
I think a lot of that's the Mahomes effect, man. Yeah. I think that's the, we've said that over and over, and I'm sure we will throughout his entire career. Like, plenty of great quarterbacks. There were plenty of great NBA players. When you have Michael Jordan, when you have Tom Brady, when you have Patrick Mahomes, you can be great. Nobody's saying you could be Hall of Fame great. I mean, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, very good chance. Those guys are Hall of Famers when it's all said and done. Lamar Jackson, same thing, but they might be going up against the greatest of all time, and that's going to be a problem for them in terms of racking up wins and in the playoffs and ultimately winning Super Bowls.
If I ever ask you this before, do you think Andy Reid, do you think Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson would have a ring if they were
yes.
with Andy Reid?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, I can't remember who it was early in the summer had an article. They were like swapping Lamar Jackson would be in Kansas City, go back you know multiple years, and Mahomes would be in Baltimore. How many rings would each have? Mahomes would still have a ring in Baltimore.
Who would have won that game in Baltimore?
But Mahomes would still have a ring in Baltimore. But I think Lamar Jackson also would. I think Mahomes would have two rings with Baltimore if he was in that scenario. Lamar would have one in Kansas City for sure.
Yeah,
he'd be you know a two-time MVP with one ring, and people would talk about him differently. It's crazy. Like people hate on Lamar, yet he has two MVP awards. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. You have two MVP awards. You're going to end up in the Hall of Fame, and yet the same narrative that's always been out there about him. Is how people, it's like almost set in stone for so many people that won't alter their perspective. And he's probably the example of almost has to win a Super Bowl for people to give him probably the proper respect for what he is as a quarterback, right? Just because someone's not Patrick Mahomes doesn't mean they're not a really good quarterback.
I think
we got to stop acting like if they're not Mahomes, they're all just kind of average. And that's just not true.
I think it's empty calories for the conversation of, is he the best quarterback in football? Nobody should be
making the argument that he's the best quarterback in football. That's silly.
Cause I think that's part of the, he hasn't like Joe Burrow arrived because he's beat Mahomes multiple times. He has made it to a Super Bowl. Josh Allen is really good, but Josh Allen is forever going to be really good until he, like, to me, he doesn't, in the conversation of best quarterback in the NFL, Josh Allen will never, ever get to that conversation or that point.
Nobody should, though, Drew, right? Like, nobody should because that case is closed despite these dumb NFL top 100 lists. Like, that, until Patrick Mahomes essentially retires or he's, I just don't imagine he's going to be the type of quarterback that's going to play if he doesn't have it.
Yeah,
like, he's going to go out like Brady and,
sure.
as a winner. Like, so.
But no, but you can't even sit at, like, to me, none of them can even sit at the table with Patrick Mahomes other than Joe Burrow's the only guy and Tom Brady, the only people that can sit at the table with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody, Josh Allen has not.
I mean, I just disagree. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is at a table by himself right now. He's eating for dinner or table for one, please. That's where
it's the kids table.
I mean, he's at a table for one. He's sitting at the bar by himself. He doesn't need anybody else at his table.
But there's nobody worthy. Like to me, Lamar Jackson is great, but him. You can. That's why the MVP is a dumb award now because Lamar Jackson, as great as a player as he is, he's not the best player, so he shouldn't be winning MVPs. I think it's as simple as that. Like Josh Allen might put up great numbers, but he's not the best quarterback, so he shouldn't be winning MVPs.
I don't want to. We got to go to break. We're late.
It's a LeBron James argument. Patrick Mahomes should win MVP every single year. Lamar Jackson should not be winning MVPs.
I understand.
It's empty calories.
This also sounds like Mr. Cincinnati over here. Joe Burrow hasn't won an MVP award.
I didn't say Joe Burrow. I said Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I didn't mention Joe Burrow.
I do think Baltimore, you think about how good the defense was last year. You had Derrick Henry on that offense as well as a run block.
I hear you. Mahomes.
Lamar Jackson is... to a lot of people is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL because of the stuff of the defenses that he's had. And he's done nothing in the playoffs.
I gotcha. No, I get your point about the LeBron comparison. I'm just saying that like saying MVP award doesn't matter when your guy doesn't have one is, you know, that's a little bit of a problem. That's all I'm saying. But coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get right back into what's taking place tomorrow. That's the Chiefs' first preseason game. What are we looking for? What are you looking for next on Cody and Gold?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.